Hello, welcome to Primary Care Priest. This is our seventh episode. I'm Father Simeon. The original ancient Christian way of life, that is the way of the Eastern Orthodox Church, is the way of healing and transformation. So nobody should be surprised that the language of medicine and healing is also the language of Orthodox theology. And this is different from the legal model for understanding Christianity that many of us in the West are familiar with. When you understand what it means for Jesus Christ to be uniquely the spiritual physician for the human soul, for death to be our diagnosis, for the Orthodox Church to be uniquely the hospital for the human soul, for the Orthodox spiritual life to be a therapeutic path, and what it means for us to love our fellow human beings on behalf of the God who loves them, then you also shouldn't be surprised that the effort to heal people through medicine and prayer has been part of the work of the church in the world since the time of Christ's apostles 2,000 years ago. I mentioned that the holy apostle and evangelist Luke, who wrote one of the four gospels and also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, was a physician from Antioch. Today, I want to tell you about three other physicians, all three of them women, who lived in the first century. Women have always been at the center of the life of the church, by the way. The martyrs Zenaida and Philonella were both from Tarsus. Tarsus was the hometown of the Apostle Paul. Tarsus was in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey. They were relatives of the Apostle Paul. Zenaida and Philonella were known to have been educated practitioners of the medical arts. To pursue their own healing and to nurture their own experience of grace through prayer and repentance, they lived inside a secluded cave. But the people in the nearby city visited them to receive medical care, which the women offered without requesting payment. Now, notice they didn't go into the community, but their reputation drew the community to them, even while they pursued a life of quietness through prayer. Of course, as they treated the diseases of the body, Zenaida and Philonella also pointed people toward the divine physician, Jesus Christ, who can heal the soul and the body completely from death. So they cared for the whole patient, body and soul. And they did this work faithfully until they were both killed by pagans because of their Christian faith. The Acts of the Apostles, that record of the earliest years of the church written by St. Luke, explains how the ministry of deacon, the diaconate, came to be in the early church. And this ministry is still important in the church today. The ministry of the apostles focused on telling the world who Jesus Christ is and what he has accomplished for our salvation. And their ministry also involved establishing congregations and continuing to teach and guide those young churches. Being a Christian means being invested in the lives of others and taking care of each other. So when there was a problem in the church community with regard to the practical care of widows, the apostles ordained the first seven deacons to take care of those practical needs, while the apostles continued to focus on their work. So you see that what we think of as social ministry to the poor, as well as medical ministry, has always been part of the experience of the church. A man named Philip was one of these first seven deacons. One of the 12 apostles was also named Philip, but this deacon Philip, also called Philip the Evangelist, is different than the apostle. This is what St. Luke the physician wrote in the Acts of the Apostles, in the Bible. On the next day, we, who were Paul's companions, departed and came to Caesarea, and entered the house of Philip the Evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Although not named in the Bible, we know that one of St. Philip's daughters was a physician named Hermione. Hermione was from Caesarea in Palestine, but she traveled to Ephesus in Asia Minor to find the Apostle John, one of Jesus' closest disciples. But St. John had already fallen asleep in the Lord. St. Hermione founded a house for the poor, where the homeless could find shelter and the poor could receive both medical attention and spiritual care. As an old woman, she remained faithful during the efforts of the pagans to torture her because of her Christian faith. Through God's power, she cured illnesses and spoke true, pure words of theology to guide people on the way of Christ up until her martyrdom. Keep in mind that the healing that takes place as we live the spiritual life involves the integration of all aspects of our lives into a whole, complete way of living. So instead of experiencing fragmentation and disintegration and chaos within and outwardly in our relationships, we experience order, harmony, balance, and wholeness. Think about a bowl full of little natural sponges. If water is poured into the bowl and the bowl is filled up with the water, then the water permeates everything in there through the sponges and the space in between the sponges. The water fills and unites everything. It's like bright light shining in a room where there is no shadow at all. The spiritual life is about opening our hearts to the one who is light and letting his light, the light of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shine in us throughout. And though no one may see it, shine from us into wherever we go. The reason I bring this up is that we see no division or contradiction between medical practice for the healing of the body and care for the soul in the accounts of the lives of these early women physicians. There is no contradiction between their external work of caring for others and their interior work of prayer and repentance. It's one life. And so it has to be with you. You can't be divided up. If something in your life doesn't fit with the spiritual life harmoniously, you need to change it or let it go. Don't try to hide it, or insist that your square peg is going to fit into the round hole of your spiritual life. Whatever it is, if it can't be changed by God's grace to become part of your life, you don't need it in your life. With regard to your work in caring for others, spiritualize it. In other words, make it an expression of your inner spiritual life. And it's not really work in a conventional sense as much as it's a kind of ministry, loving others on behalf of the God who loves you and them, even those difficult patients you have to deal with. Now, if you work in a secular medical institution, even one that tells you that you can't wear your cross, you have the freedom to pray in your heart for yourself and everybody around you, in silence, quietness. And you have the freedom to do everything in your relationship with your coworkers and your patients, the freedom to do it with love, everything you do, patience, perseverance, honesty, wisdom, integrity. Let that which is within be expressed naturally in everything you do. And God willing, that light that shines through you, it will draw people not only to you, but to the one that is working in you, the one who heals. Be a whole, harmonious, balanced person, orderly within. And do the work in your profession that reflects the work of someone whose spirituality naturally permeates everything, every little space in your life, for your salvation, for the benefit of others, and to the glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let's remember these holy women physician saints and ask for them to pray for us, that God will grant us healing within and grant healing to others through us, through our faithful, prayerful work. Thank you for listening. This is Primary Care Priest. I'm Father Simeon. If you found this beneficial, please share with others. May God bless your journey.